Wheat markets under pressure as we see mixed trade elsewhere on Tuesday. You're listening to the American Ag Network. I'm Jesse Allen with this market update. Mike Zuzulo with Global Commodity Analytics joins us for today's market wrap-up. And Mike, let's start with this wheat trade. A lot of pressure there. Spring wheat, the downside leader, even with a slight uptick in the crop rating this week. But your thoughts here in this wheat trade just seems like a lot of pressure to the downside here on Tuesday.
Yeah, I've kind of gauged it this way or framed it this way, Jesse, and that is the wheat clearly is not looking at the Godzilla El Nino that we talked about last week on our market talk update. It's instead looking at the U.S. dollar Mothra, and I think that's what I'm going to start sticking with as far as the analogy of what the two major opposing forces that we're seeing in this wheat market. And the corn to a lesser degree, why is that? Well, it's because the corn just keeps following wheat. We've seen this all of 2026 for the most part. And so I really believe that between the crude oil market and the 13-month high that the dollar index just made, we're really seeing the wheat market give way to the macro pressure. And having said that, a couple side notes for the listeners out there. We are hearing here late in the session on Tuesday that France is reportedly going to send their first wheat cargo to China in 2 years. That's a pretty big piece of news. The trade probably doesn't like that, but I'm a little bit of a contrarian here because China's been buying a lot of Russian wheat, and it would suggest to me that Russia's out of wheat at this point, or it's more expensive than they want to pay, and they're actually going to France. And that's actually good from the standpoint that maybe China does have some wheat issues that we can tap into globally. We may not sell it to them directly, which I think that's where the market's probably more negative because we didn't get the business ourselves through the Trump-Xi summit. But I think net-net, it's a good supply-demand equation. And that takes me to the other point, and that is our supply-demand fundamentals are tightening up, as I expected, in the Northern Hemisphere. We saw the wheat harvest pace, Oklahoma at 95% here in this country versus 34% a year ago. Key areas of France, corn and wheat country, they're going to be 106, 104, and 104 degrees actual temperatures the next 3 days in a row. And some of the models that I look at as far as soil moisture and crop health now versus a week from now look a lot more damaging than the market's giving this trade credit for, or the trade's giving this supply-demand fundamental credit for. And I think this really does translate back to the currencies. Commodity currencies and the fact that Japanese yen is near a 40-year low against the U.S. dollar. So it feels like the 1980s still, when you ask me.
With corn and soybeans on Tuesday, I think one bright spot for me anyway, and maybe you can touch on this a little bit, is that we really, even with all the pressure in wheat, it was kind of that penny higher, penny lower type of trade in corn and soybeans. And I guess I'll take that as a win, considering some of the pressure in wheat and some of the pressure in tech stocks and things like that in the outside markets on the day Tuesday.
No, I couldn't agree more. And I think this is really important to be watching the next 10 days. When will the supply-demand fundamentals matter? When will this wheat issue that I'm talking about matter? And I think it really does boil down to the July delivery as we get to the first notice day, and also the updated acreage numbers from the USDA right before the July 4th holiday. And you bring up a huge point. The product markets today really continue to help support the soybean complex. And even though the bear spreading remains, and we've seen that July no bean spread go to a negative 25 to negative 27 and essentially erase about 80 cents of premium, if not more, in the last 2 or 3 months. We have the no bean dease corn ratio hitting fresh contract highs on Tuesday's trade of about 2.61 November beans premium to December corn. I'm looking for that to abruptly potentially shift, in that the acreage-based numbers and the tightness of the corn supplies will be more recognized by the trade as we get to the first notice day. So in my opinion, Jesse, we're pretty much filling gaps to the downside in the crude oil, in the corn. The funds are net short, the corn, the soft red wheat, and the hogs. Those are our leaders in terms of what should bottom first. And we get done with this momentum technical sentiment mindset from the macros as we get towards the end of the month. That's when I really want to see some changes occur.
You know, you brought up the dollar and those fresh 13-month highs. Crude oil continuing to trade down 72, 73-ish dollars a barrel. I mentioned tech stocks under some pressure today. NASDAQ, S&P down sizably while the Dow's quiet. But you look at this overall outside market picture, too, and I know we're going to get the PCE data Wednesday, and there's some whisper I've seen from a few traders that they're worried about that data coming in hotter than expected. What does that mean for the broader inflation concern? Any thoughts on that? Just putting a little more focus on all of these outside markets and what's moving there.
No, I like the way you frame that, because we're also going to get the Amazon Prime Day data here. Since today, Tuesday, is Amazon Prime Day. We'll see some more consumption data as well this week. And along with the PCE, we should get a pretty good idea of whether the Federal Reserve is going to see an opening of not having to raise rates, because the energy prices are falling so much and we're below $4 a gallon in unleaded gas. And keep in mind, the Federal Reserve and the market, in terms of the bond market at the Mercantile Exchange, we're already at 2 to 3 rate increases here in the next 6-7 months. And so we've already dialed that in. And this is, again, a key feature to the fund sentiment. How much more do you need to dial in as far as rate hikes, when your main reason for thinking you're going to see rate hikes is the crude oil market and the gasoline market going straight down these last 3 or 4 weeks. Again, a pretty massive disconnect, if you ask me, and something I think we're going to need to shore up and come back and reevaluate by the end of the month.
Let's talk livestock trade before we close out here today, Mike. And cattle and hogs, both were kind of mixed for most of the session. Live and feeder cattle futures did find a little more selling pressure into the close, but overall it just felt like kind of a sideways day in many ways. Your feeling in this protein complex here after Tuesday's trade?
Well, the cattle and feed report last week did its job on Monday when we came back from the holiday and shot sharply higher, feeders leading on the placements. I don't think the trade knows what to make of the marketing's number yet, Jesse, and they're waiting for the cash trade to get established more firmly this week, and it should, because we are in peak packer demand and bidding type of mindset at this point, given that we're right up against July 4th holiday. The hog sector is something to really watch, and I, full disclosure, I made recommendations to clients to get some longs in place on the hogs, and the reason that is because anecdotally, I'm hearing more and more about some disease pressure in the breeding stock for the hogs. I'm really watching that Thursday hogs and pigs report to see if the kept for breeding number, as a result of this information I'm getting from hog producers around the country, is whether we see a lot lower kept for breeding number or down towards the lower end of the percentage number for estimates around 98%, if we don't go down in that area because of disease pressure, which has been around for several weeks, so it would be as of June 1. That's something to really watch, I think, here in the very short term, along with Thursday's cold storage report, because that's going to tell us how much we've been putting away in freezers versus what the consumer's been taking on and putting in their shopping carts.
Well, we always remember that risk of trading futures and or options can be substantial. Mike, if folks want to talk with you there at Global Commodity Analytics, how can they get in touch with you?
Best way is to go to globalcomresearch.com, and that's globalcom with 2 M's, research.com, and take out a 2-week free trial. Take a look at some of our analysis online there.
Mike Zuzulo, Global Commodity Analytics. As always, thanks for joining us here today on the Market Wrap-Up. Have a great one, sir. We'll talk to you again soon.
Thanks, Jesse. Appreciate it, sir.
And that's going to do it for today's Market Wrap-Up here on the American Ag Network. I'm Jesse Allen reporting.